Hey, kiddies, let me tell you about my friends over at TaxAct.com. Filing your federal taxes with TaxAct.com is easy, fast, and it's free. TaxAct.com is easy. They will guide you every step of the way, and it's fast. Start anywhere and finish anytime on your computer, tablet, or phone. Save money, get your maximum refund guaranteed, no restrictions. At TaxAct.com, federal taxes are free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. Sounds too good to be true. Well, it ain't, baby. It's TaxAct.com. So, check it out. TaxAct.com/Adam. That's TaxAct.com/Adam. TaxAct. You got this, baby. Hey, Chickapees. Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you and you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance and enjoy the show.
This is Corona Digital. Live from the gas lamp in Long Beach, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest tonight, Jim Florentine, plus Allison Rosen on news, and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he's ignited so many farts, his nickname is the gas lamp. Adam Carolla!
Yeah, get it on! Got to get it on, no choice but to get it on, mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for coming out and joining us on what shall be a fun night. Jim Florentine has joined us up on stage. Allison Rosen.
Hello.
Bald Brian.
Oh, shit!
All right, many things to talk about. Jim and I, of course, worked together on Crank Yankers so many years ago. Everyone loves special ed, and Bobby, who did the belching?
Bobby Fletcher. Yes. And real burps, too.
Oh, no, Jim's amazing. As a matter of fact, he needs a Diet Coke up here at some point so we can pull this off in the flesh. But my favorite call, and I just thought we'd get it out of the way, was Bobby Fletcher calling in to attempt to get a job, and somehow the guy thought the guy who was doing the belching was on the other line. Or the third line, which is weird because Jim is such a class A. Well, first, he's just a class act. But secondly, his ability to belch and speak. Only Betty White, really, have I heard. And she was really high at the time, who's able to do that. That's the only other celebrity I've met that can do that. And Jim is able to do that. I don't know if it's something that was just touched by the hand of God or something.
I think
trained.
So, yeah. It was a talent. I honed it when I was younger. I used to just stand outside a supermarket. As people walked out, I would just burp right in their face.
It's so.
And they would like, don't you have anything else to do? No. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm just going to stand here and do that.
It's so weird because as I, you know, walk into my house every night and step over my kids having sex with their avatars, I realized all we had was making fart sounds with the arm flap.
Being able to make myself burp was something that I have wanted to do or had wanted to do ever since I was a little kid. I'm not making that up. I always envied that. And then like one night I spent hours just trying to do it and I almost passed out. But I also almost threw up.
Be prepared to be blown away,
Adam,
by Florentine, yes.
You know, some comics look down on like prop comics and stuff. Does Jim look down on the people who have to use the armpit to make the fart sound?
No, I respect that even more.
Yeah,
I haven't burped in probably since the Crank Anchors days. Like, I haven't done that in a while, so it's I might be a little rusty tonight.
Well, you can, you know, warm up your chops. I want to play you that call from so many years ago. We used to go to Las Vegas to do these phone calls. Well, we would go to Nevada, but we figure as long as we're in Nevada, let's go to Vegas and live it up a little bit. And because it's illegal to make those phone calls and tape record phone calls in California, you can't call somebody and record it and not tell them in advance you're recording it. But I hope you're all sitting down. In Nevada, it's perfectly legal. So we would just go to Vegas, tape all the calls in Vegas, and sort of sidestep the law that way. And I was sitting in the recording studio off the strip while Jim was doing his thing. And you never knew what was going to happen, because you knew he was going to belch, but you didn't know how the other person was going to react. This one we could have never dreamt of in our wildest dreams, but I don't think it needs any more setup than that. Let's just play Jim applying for a job.
National Allied Defense Network, this is Rich. How can I help you?
Hi, Rich. It's Bobby Fletcher. I'm calling about the job.
What type of sales experience you got?
I've sold everything over the phone.
Name it. You've done it?
Right.
Well, basically what we're doing here, guy, is dealing specifically with, not specifically, taxes. Are you burping?
What?
Somebody's burping on this line.
I only have one line.
Okay, somebody's burping on this line, and so that means somebody is probably listening on my phone call and being an idiot.
What, do you got some kids working there or something like that?
Of course. There's some little idiots around here somewhere.
You know, and the people in the middle of a conversation burping, I mean, that's pretty childish.
Okay.
Kind of salary are we talking about?
$350 a week versus commission. Whoever's burping, you're puking. If you got enough guts, why don't you come over here so I can whoop on you? The cool thing about this place is you have an opportunity to make as much money as you want and move up the ladder quick. I've had 6 promotions in 14 months.
Right.
And then we move you up the ladder, and we work also with prepaid legal. We can actually give prepaid legal away. You sell the extra $36 deal, you get $25 for $36. Not too shabby.
That sounds good, man.
Because if you get somebody to close your calls for you, it doesn't matter. They'll close a call, you still get paid the same amount of money because they're getting 3% off your deal.
I'm starting to hear something. I didn't pick that up.
Oh, yeah, it was a big one. It's a big, juicy one. But, you know, whoever it is may be funny, but it doesn't bother me because, you know, I'm professional enough to talk over.
Look, if I'm going to make sales for you guys, I can't have some guy burping over the phone.
Well, no, this is only on the inbound phones here. For my specific one, because let's just say there's internal problems and we're getting rid of them. That's why we're hiring from this division.
So this ain't going to happen with me because, you know, I'm pretty professional when I do my calls.
Oh, no doubt. So are we. And that's why people like this guy on the other line, when we find out who it is, we'll just have Adam fire him, you know, and then I'll take him outside and just beat his ass.
All right. I'd like to work for you guys. You guys sound good, but the burping's a little too much for me. It sounds like you guys are pretty unprofessional over there.
No, it's one of those phones that you listen on, okay? And they cannot only go on so many lines.
I can't deal with that if I'm trying to make sales.
You won't have to. If it ever happens, we find out where it comes from. Trust me, we will.
All right, I'll call you back tomorrow if I hear burping then.
Thanks.
Yeah, Jim Florentine.
I remember you and Jimmy Kimmel on the floor laughing as I was doing it. Because they're in the room, you know, in case you come up with a line or whatever. And I can't look at them. I'm covering my eyes. So they're making me laugh, and it was fucking up my burps.
We'd sit there with dry erase boards and, you know, quickly scrawl down jokes. But in this case, we just kept saying burp. And I think you were, like, chugging a Coke in
Coke
between.
And water. Yeah, your notes were just keep burping.
That was the direction.
Did you ever have problems with the people cracking up during their calls?
With the celebrities and or comedians kind of losing it. No, I think the first thing you learn as a comedian and, by the way, a criminal is, you know, keep a straight face when someone says, "You've been drinking tonight?" Absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to
You have to be able to do that, otherwise you're screwed in the comedy world, especially since most comedians start off by making prank phone calls in the first place.
And it's a lot easier when that you don't, you're not actually face-to-face with the person over the phone. It's a lot easier not to break character.
Right. Yeah, the hard part was always calling them back and trying to get them to sign off. We had to call back and get everyone to sign off on...
And Comedy Central only give them a T-shirt. There was no. They're like, no, well, you're going to be a star. You're going to be on TV.
No, but we'd like sweeten the pot with a gift certificate to Olive Garden or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something insane like that. It's amazing what people will do for a gift certificate to Olive Garden.
Yeah.
I think I could probably find 1,500 individuals in the United States who would happily kill my wife for a gift certificate to Olive Garden. I mean, it'd have to be for two.
Right.
And probably have to have like a, you know, some sort of bottomless pasta bowl and dessert included or whatever it was. A couple of cocktails thrown in. And maybe a Crank Anchor T-shirt, but either way, it's amazing what you can get done with a gift certificate in most towns. All right, speaking of booze, and we weren't talking about it, I was just thinking about it. I'm enjoying my mangria. Thank you so much for partaking. You know how I lead a life where people do a lot of really nice things for me and I get angry about it and them shortly thereafter?
Right.
Last night, we went to a theater to watch a second look of my movie, The Hammer. Ileana Douglas has this thing where showed it. Thank you. And it was nice. We went to a theater. We sat. Everyone sat in. I brought my kids. Everything was great. It was a great night. And right before the movie started, a lovely young woman who was sitting in front of me held up a beer. It was a Corona. And she said, looks like you could go for a cold one. And I said, absolutely. And she leaned back and she handed me the beer. And then I proceeded for the next 20 minutes to tear all the skin off of my inner knuckle of my thumb on my left hand trying to get the cap off. And at a certain point, I realized this she-monster who started off as the greatest person on the planet and just turned into a serpent in front of me, handed me a fucking beer and said, looks like you go for a cold one, did not offer to open it or tell me I need to open it, and just watched me grind my left hand down to a fucking nub.
What a sociopath.
It's also, you know, you mean business when the shirt comes out?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting my shirt involved with this.
Yeah.
And then there's that move, and it's the most emasculating move in the world where you have to hand it off to somebody, usually with an excuse that involves toughness, like where you go, hey, could you work on this bottle? In the 70s, I got in a bar fight, and I kicked the shit out of a bunch of Hell's Angels, and I busted up my left hand really bad. I got a titanium in it from... Just I took out the Lompoc chapter of the Hell's Angels. Anyway, I have no grip in my left hand, so could you go ahead and there's always an excuse. It's never I'm a pussy, I can't do a chin up. It's always something to do with kicking too much ass.
And you don't have your drunk white trash friend with you. You go, no, I got a lighter right here, and just pops it off.
Right,
I need that guy. Yeah, right here, no problem. I got a can opener.
But you never say it's never anything like I was masturbating vigorously. Right. My hand slid off my cock. It caught the towel, you know, those towel rings just the wrong way. And I haven't been able to open a bottle since. It always has to do with, you know, I was beating the shit on my eighth Hell's Angel. So I handed the thing off to somebody and they started working on it. And then by the way, nothing warms a beer faster than dudes working on it vigorously. Like, between the guy's legs.
Right.
I have three people all working on it. One guy's holding it down with a towel, you know, and the other guy's working on the top. And it's like, this is not a twist-off. This serpent lady handed me a cold one and did not tell me I needed to figure out a way to open this thing. And now I'm going at it with the keys and doing that move. Like, there's a way to open a... First off, what year is it? Shouldn't everything just be twist off?
Like,
yes. Yes.
Wasn't that pioneered? What? Marcus Twistoff, the great German scientist, pioneered this in 1971. Shouldn't we have just all ran this direction?
And what advantage of it is it? Is it more? Is it fresher because it's not? You can't just twist it like that?
Why? Why is it fine for half the beers? How do they get away with it? It's not like we do that with the pop top on the soda can. It's not like, well, half of them, you need the old style army, you know, screwdriver style to punch a hole in it.
You shouldn't need a tool to drink something.
That's right. Yes. You don't need a tool. You drink with tools.
Now, do you think that she gave it to you being nice, or she's like, all right, fuck it, I can't open this, so I'll just give it to Adam because I can't use this? Was she...
I don't know. You know, it was like if somebody took like a rack of lamb and then put it inside an impenetrable lucite case and just gave it to a bear. That's in a swimming pool. That's what I was like. I was just pawing at it and struggling with it and elbows flying. My poor kids were there. It's like a dog toy for a human. Yeah, and I gave it to my wife. She was going at it with the keys. There's a move. So anyway, it's 2014. Can we just fucking have the twist top for all beers from this day forth? And if not, can we clearly mark them? Can we paint them Caltrans orange when they're not pop tops?
Because no matter how tough you are, I'm assuming, if you try to twist off one that needs a opener, it like cuts your hand up.
Yes, it's excruciating. Then there's always this move. You can try for the one quick move, like on the counter side with the pop move, which could go great.
Yeah, one out of ten.
Or it could go
one
south.
Out of ten,
it could go. You could either chip off the top of the bottle. You could take off the edge of your marble countertop. Like there's a lot of downside to that. It's like pulling a tooth, you know, slam the door. This could be quick and painless, or you could be laying on the ground with blood shooting out of your ass.
Wow. Where were the roots of that tooth?
Very deep, my friend, very deep. So I was struggling with it, and then it's like I didn't know what to do with the chick because I wanted to tap her on the...
Was she watching the whole time?
No, she was looking forward, and I wanted to, like, what the fuck? Like, why would you hand someone a beer that you couldn't... Oh, it's not like I had my, you know, church key hanging around my neck. Eventually, I started sort of cursing and making noises while Ileana Douglas was saying how happy she was to have me there that night. And Lynette wrestled it away from me and got it open with her keys.
See, the great irony about any bottle that you can't get open is that there is a way in if you just destroy the bottle. You can't drink it.
Yes.
But that's always an option.
The guy you want... You know, everybody, you need that. Everyone needs the stoner they travel with, like the space saver stoner, you know, that you just travel with. Yeah. The little guy who's handy with
the
lighter.
He's got shit hanging off
his
ear.
He's always got a lighter.
Gadgets.
By the way, his lighter's like a Swiss Army lighter. Like, it can work. It can do anything. It can open bottles.
Open my iPhone. I'm like, there's some shit in here. Oh, yeah, I got something. He can open
this. Right. They just boom, pow. You need that guy. The greatest guy I ever met to do that was William the Refrigerator Perry, who had a huge mitt and a huge ring. It wasn't a Super Bowl ring. It was just a massive ring. And if you handed him your beers, he was like one of those, like what they have in the old-timey cooler, Coke coolers. Like, he'd literally just take his paw and pop it and hand it right back to you.
Adam,
so, yes.
My version of that is my buddies were all USC frat guys, and they wore the flip-flops that had the bottle opener and the sole, which some guys here apparently do, too.
Ah, I like that.
So someone rubbed their shoe on your drink?
Yeah. I also experienced, Jim, I don't know, tell me, I know we've gotten into this before, but I really wanted to delve into this. At what age... do you not know someone is trying to get the fuck off the phone with you? Because I heard my wife talking to her dad the other night going, all righty then. Well, okay. Well, then we'll see you then. Then we will see you then.
Right.
I will do. Well, all righty. Well, then that's when we'll see you. Well, then, okay. All right. All righty. Then we'll see. Yeah, of course. And then there's a weird pause. Natalia's doing great. Thanks for asking. Anyway, we'll see you then. Will do. Once you hear your like fifth will do, and I'll see you then, and alrighty then, and okay then, the fuck off the phone. What happens? What age do you get to where you don't have the ability to hear tone and inclination anymore? Where you just don't know what the person wants? Or do you not care?
I think it's that you don't care. You're like, I don't have that many years left. I know this person doesn't want to talk to me, but fuck it. They will.
Fuck it.
But I will wear them down.
I don't even know if it's an age thing. You know, like even with my wife, she just wants to talk and talk. We're on the phone, and I just pick it up like I'm aggravated and I have to go.
Right.
And then I make any excuse up. I'm like, honey, you know what? I got to go. I'm pulling up to a traffic light. I got to go. And she's like,
right.
So what does that mean? You're at a traffic. I go, yeah, I got to concentrate. Bye.
See, I'm kind
of... Sorry, I went through a tunnel. I couldn't hear, you know. That's a great one.
I'm kind of that way on the phone, too. But why are you that way with your wife? Do you just not like to be on the phone?
Yeah.
With his wife.
Yeah, with my wife, yeah.
Right.
If it's my friend, I'll be on it for fucking 2 hours.
I know, it's so sad.
Yeah.
So sad. I know.
You know, when she's like, how was your day? I'm like, well, it's not over yet. How about you fucking ask me in 6 hours? You know, a lot of shit could happen. Why tell you in the middle? Let's wait.
There should be an app for your phone. When it hears, will do, for the 55th time, it hangs up.
Yeah, then you got to call back a second later. We got disconnected, so anyway.
No, it gets very staticky, and then it just flatlines, and it won't recognize that other number. Right. All you have to do is say the phrase, will do, 5 times in the course of 2 minutes, and it will hang up with it. Someone invent this app. It'd
You've
be
been
awesome.
Cut off.
Yeah, and because there could be a moment where you're talking to your wife, and you're like, will do. Right. I get it. Natalia with the homework. Will do. Will do. Okay, will do. And then you're like, will. And then she's like, I want to talk about your cock girth. And you're like, oh, hold it. Now I just bought myself. You just bought an extra. I mean, it's probably not likely.
Yeah.
It could happen.
But you could buy yourself. You would be able to count. The phone would have a little will do countdown on it. And all you have to do is say will do. And I think static will kick in. By the way, it's not like anyone would get suspicious if you said will do twice. They go, wait a minute. You're trying to get off the phone with me with that app? They wouldn't know. I mean, that's got wildly popular. And then maybe I'd change it to can do. But either way.
There should be a safe word or a phrase that resets the will-do counter. Like if the cock girth comes up, like, oh, can do.
Right,
like resets
right.
It.
Brings it back. Right.
It's interesting that moment where you're trying to get off, you realize the other person doesn't hear, and then you just decide, oh, I guess I'll just re-engage. Like you're saying, when that's like, yeah, Natalia's homework is going well. Because it is a choice where you just give up.
Right.
I will just answer your question. And
right.
Then you'll have to start in again on the trying to get off.
Will do. I know what you're saying. I do what you're saying. Brian, you got some questions from the audience?
Yes.
By the way, I should say that Jim Florentine is going to be at the American Comedy Club in San Diego. We were just out there January 8th. Hollywood Improv on January 9th. And wait a minute.
That was this past week.
Yeah, that was this past week.
Well, that metal show.
I can't wait to go.
Yeah, you guys should go. I already know how the show went.
Is it going to be good?
Yeah, come to the improv show, not the San Diego show. That was better.
We should get a DeLorean and go back and see that San Diego show. I bet it was dynamite. But the Hollywood Improv show, the hell's that? What is that? What the hell's the date today?
Today's the 11th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, forget about all the shows. Anyway, don't see Jim Florentine.
The thing is, he's played some great shows recently.
Oh, he's definitely, he's definitely done
some
stellar shows. But website, jimflorentine.com, and what you can do is you can find out when past, but future shows, more importantly.
Future shows. Or I do a podcast. I got a podcast called Comedy Metal Midgets.
Sure.
It's up once a week, and I new season of that metal show that I work on VH1 Classic.
Which I enjoy.
Starts next Saturday night, 12 new episodes every Saturday.
Yeah.
Do you think... And I do a show on Ozzy's Boneyard on Sirius, too.
How big an attraction of guys that are into heavy metal is because it's called heavy metal? Like, if it was called pliable plastic, as a genre. It's like a musical genre. Well,
probably not too many.
Or like it was called like the genre was just known as soft and doughy. Or pink and softic. You know what I mean? I think I like the idea of being into heavy metal. It just sounds good.
There's not a lot of dudes who are into easy listening.
No, there isn't.
And it's and mostly it's all dudes that are into heavy metal.
Yeah. There's.
When I see like a 20-year-old kid, he's like, dude, I love Black Sabbath. I go, you don't get laid.
Right.
He's like, no, I love Judas Priest too. I go, dude, just start listening to Beyonce right now.
Right.
You're going to have a tough life.
Right.
Because no chicks want to fuck you.
Right.
They don't want to hear that Black Sabbath got back together and there's a great record out when you're in a dance club.
Right. Yeah, also, there's not a lot of 22-year-old chicks over at the junior college who know who UFO is.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right.
They don't care that Judas Priest is coming around in the summer.
Right.
That kid's jacked up on it.
All right. Questions from the audience. Sorry.
Yes, yes. First one's from Sarah Valenzuela of Cypress, California. Where is Sarah? There we go. Perfect.
Sarah from Cypress?
Yep.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So my question is, I'm a high school teacher, so I'm wondering, how do I motivate a ninth grade student?
Hold on.
Masturbation. Like, she's just going to start masturbating at the front. Like, that's going to make him do his work. He's not going to watch her playing with herself. He's going to go, oh, I'm going to do my math now.
Right. First thing you need to announce is that children are not our future. I think it's those robots that clean, you know, the Roombas or whatever they are. It's that or the universal remote, but it's not children. You have a ninth grader, so what's it make you, 14, 15?
Yeah, 15. Mm-hmm.
15, and what do you teach? So when you're in, you have a subject, right?
English,
and does the kid have potential?
Yeah. Maybe?
No, listen, not everyone has potential. Almost no one I went to high school with, including myself, had potential, and it was good that it was never recognized. You think they could do better, but they can't. You know, I was just talking about this yesterday with Mike, the Stone Pelican, as we were driving 90 miles an hour back from Las Vegas. I don't know if you guys knew about this Odyssey, but I can get into it for a second. And then I'll tell you about the children and how to educate them. first off, keep them away from the school-to-prison pipeline that somehow was erected in the night. I never even heard about this, but Huffington Post is onto this. They broke the story. There's a school-to-prison pipeline, and you don't want to get him near the happy end of the school-to-prison pipeline. He'll be sucked into it and end up in a prison cell somewhere in Pelican Bay. So we were driving home from Las Vegas. The reason we were driving home from Las Vegas is because our flight out to Las Vegas last week had a four-hour fog delay. Four-hour fog delay in fucking Burbank, California. It's like they must have imported the fog in from either England or somewhere on the East Coast. Like, I don't know. I've lived in the Valley my entire life. We have second-stage smog alerts. And the only way things really shut down in the Valley is either there's a smog alert or they think there was a third gunman. So we have to cordon off the whole area.
Right.
By the way, hey, any cops here tonight? Could you guys fucking figure out your head count on gunmen? Because there's always the third guy you thought was there but never shows up, and that's why I have to shut down the entire city for 6 hours? We think there may have been one more. You think or do you know? I'll put up with the one more gunman, and you open up the city. So we're fogged in completely in Burbank, which means I'd had four beers before 10 a.m. because we had an 8:05 flight that never took off. By the way, this bullshit, whenever flights are delayed, how they break it off into these bite-sized morsels drives me insane. It's an 8:05 flight. Well, we're leaving at 8. We're leaving at 9:40 now. Well, all right, 9:40. I guess we'll still be all right. Well, now it's 10:15. Then it was 10:30. Then it was 11:30. And eventually, we were sitting on the plane. Everyone was buckled in, and no pilot. We had no pilot. The pilot was missing, so we had to wait for the pilot. And then by the time we got to Vegas, the flight we were supposed to take out, that was the flight we were walking past when we were coming into McCarran, and there were no more flights out of Vegas. So we had to rent a car and drive home with Mike August, the maniac, behind the wheel of the automobile. And along that ride, we started talking about education because we get very heavy that way. And he announced when he, in between honking, swerving, and going in and out of lanes, by the way, here is a beautiful way to go from Vegas to L.A. if you're trying to get there in about 3.5 hours. We got behind a E63 AMG Mercedes, and I could see it had a radar detector on it, and I said, fucking follow this guy. He'll be the head, and we'll be the shaft and balls. Here we go. And it was like a cannonball run.
That's beautiful.
The guy had a vanity plate with his name on it. His name was like Dylan. And I said, this Dylan, he's got a radar detector. He's got like four turbochargers on his Mercedes-Benz, and he makes this run all the time. So just tuck in behind him and let him go like stink.
Do you think he's like, why is there an angry Toyota Tercel behind me?
He was getting angry and slightly confused because Mike's one of these guys, when you tell him to follow somebody, he follows them like he's on a fucking trailer hitch, you know? So he's like swerving in and out and passing everybody.
He must have been so paranoid by the end.
We made incredible time, but I was looking through our windshield at his radar detector the entire time.
That's what we used to do when we were younger. Leaving the bar, always followed a drunk guy
right. That's
coming out of the bar, because he's going to get pulled over. Just stay behind him, and then you got a straight run all the way home.
Right, right.
You know, and the guy can't even get the key in the door. You're like, no, I'm going to follow that fucker. Yeah. He's going to get pulled over like a mile down the road. That first cop's going to get him, and then I got a fucking straight run.
Right, right. Or at least
I'm not afraid of the guy weaving. I'll fucking stay right behind him. I'm not worried about him hitting me.
Safest place you can be is behind a drunk driver.
Exactly.
It's true.
Yeah, because he's going to hit the tree, and I'm just going, all right, whatever.
No, you're hanging
Unless behind is in the back seat.
Yes, absolutely. Because then you get hit by vomit. we're talking about all the different kinds of smart and learning and knowledge and all that shit, and we just decided, you know, there's a kind that does well in school. That was not me. But then there's a type that can find a guy with a supercharged Mercedes-Benz and a radar detector and follow him all the way from Vegas back to L.A., that's a certain kind of intelligence, better, arguably, than the one that does well in the ninth grade class, and you got to coach around it. Now, I'm sorry, what happened to our... now, you're an attractive woman.
Thank you.
And let me tell you, guys, Jim, remember when the hormones were buzzing and popping?
Yes.
And remember, it was right at about ninth grade, and it was a lot of fantasies and boners you didn't want. Remember?
My history teacher was like 70, and I would get a boner.
Right.
What was his name?
Mr. Kramercheck was a very open-minded
Mr.
guy.
Mr. Carolla was his name. Right. But I would. In weird way, she turned me on. Even at 70, I would have fucked her.
Right, right.
So I could just imagine if she was my teacher. Forget
right.
it.
Right, right. I mean, maybe it's the, you know, the physical appearance. How do you do it at school? I went to my daughter's school last year. The teacher was wearing, her teacher's, you know, 26. She's wearing go-go boots. She has a nose stud in. She's all whored up. She's got the kissing potion on. The fuck? She was like, it was like she was hosting a Brazilian kid show. She was that whored. She was that whored out. Do you frump it up, or do you put yourself together for the kids?
No, put myself together.
Yeah. See, you're doing the fellas a disservice because they're into you.
Yeah, they're not,
and they can't focus. None of the blood is in their upper extremities. It's all in their on their wang. There's nothing they can do about it. By the way, there's a kind of a smallish window as a male where you have control over your own cock. It's not that big, you know. It's not a big window. Like, you spend the beginning part of your life with no control over your wiener. You just get a boner. It doesn't matter. You could be sitting there, you know, showing Schindler's List. And that kid would have a boner because he's in the ninth grade. There's just nothing. And then there's this. Thank you. And then. But then there's a certain point later on in life where you're yelling at your dick, come on, let's go. It's party time. Let's do it.
Yes.
And it's nothing.
When's the last time you had a surprise boner?
Wow. It's a surprise boner.
You ever get one on the plane when you're just sitting there for no reason?
I've had the surprise boner on the plane, which means then if you have to pee, you have to lean over and put your head. You have to become a plank and put your head when you're going to. You're right. What happens to me is every time, about three times a year, I get a massage, and the massage, they always start you off on your stomach. And they spend the first 40 minutes with you on your stomach, and they're just working away. And I don't want to get a boner because they're going to flip you over.
But it's just gravity.
It's literally, it's just math, science, and gravity. And
so you don't go to the Asian ones if you don't want to get a boner then.
Right, right. I'm going to a real one. But unfortunately, while the Enya's playing, and she's got the, you know, I can smell the lavender in the air. I'm having to think about Vietnam war atrocities.
Right.
Because I don't want to get a boner. So it's not as relaxing as it could be. Because I know if I drift away, I'll drift away over to Boner Island.
Right.
And I don't want to go there because I have to flip over in a second.
Is it that the Boner Island would be a place I would not want to visit? Is it that the massage feels so good, or that you're thinking, no boner, no boner, no boner?
No boners. Yeah, no boners gives you a boner. No anything gives you whatever it is.
Yeah.
No cigarettes. I need a smoke. No booze. I need some booze.
No whammy. No whammies.
Right. No. No anything means that's what I'm going to do.
Now,
right.
is the woman hot that's giving her a massage? Is that what it is?
They're usually, you know...
Yeah, okay.
There's a certain, you know, they're not in wheelchairs. And
right.
They have all their limbs and everything, you know? You got to
like 50 and kind of...
I honestly, that doesn't... I don't know how much that factors in. Like, I think I could easily do it with a dude, too. That's why I never choose dudes. You know what I mean?
What if you were feeling you were getting a boner as a dude was giving you a massage?
I'm saying I don't think it has to do with the gender of the hands that have been laid upon me.
Is there more pressure, or do you have to go to a darker place not to get a boner if you got a dude robbing you?
Yeah, no, I have to, you know, I still work the Vietnam village being right. Pillaged by Marines that are, you know, high on methamphetamines. And,
right.
and killing women and the elderly and kids. But now it all takes place in front of a big screen that's showing a Dane Cook movie. So I really have to go to a dark, dark,
wow.
dark place in order to, you know, really not, you know, become tumescent in front of this guy. So anyway... the children, right. He's, what's he doing? Not living up to his potential?
The kids.
What's he doing?
Yeah, just unmotivated, doesn't care.
He's lazy.
Not interested, yeah.
He's slow, all right, good. We'll see him at the car wash in 4 years. We need these people. Let's not send everyone to college, people. We need people to fucking scrape paint and put asphalt down.
Maybe the kid needs a massage from her.
Yes, maybe he's tense.
Yeah, maybe just rub his shoulders a little,
he's
you know?
To release some pressure, yes. And is the ninth grade a good grade? I mean, is that a happy? You want to go earlier? You want to go older? What?
They're very impressionable at ninth at ninth grade, so you can kind of help them with their, you know, self-esteem. And
listen, fuck self-esteem. I'm tired of self-esteem. I'm tired of everyone feeling so goddamn good about themselves. You're creating monsters. Kids are pieces of shit now. They really are. And stop it with the self-esteem. I'm tired.
You know, her kids are also at the age 14, 15, where the girls are sleeping with the boys, the teachers.
Right.
That's about that age where that shit's going down.
Any of that going down at your school?
Is there any hot kids in the class?
We've had a couple incidences in the restroom.
Really?
Uh-huh.
With teachers and students?
No. Oh, no. Students and students.
Students and students. And how were they caught, and who dropped a dime on them? And who was that dick who ratted them out? Like, I feel like if I saw some consensual lovemaking in the bathroom, first off, that's beautiful. It's God intended.
That is. And if he's in ninth grade, he's not lasting long. He's not lasting more than
3
minutes.
Right, that window for you to bust him is like 30, 35 seconds.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, he's got a minute and a half. He just put it in. I'll hang out. I don't want to cock block him.
And then you have to get the parents in there and everything?
Yeah, the parents and full-on conference with explaining exactly what happened.
It's so uncomfortable. Isn't it uncomfortable?
I feel uncomfortable, but I'm also wondering, what would the parents' reaction be? Like, I mean, I suppose some parents would be hugely disappointed, but some would be proud. Yeah.
The boy's dad. Initially, there'd be a lot of feigned concern.
Right.
And then later on, it'd be a lot of high-fiving.
Yeah, he's like...
And, you know, once he was back at the transmission shop, it'd be a lot of high-fiving. And there'd be some pretty earnest conversations he had with his son in private about, did you take any pictures? Seriously, I got you that fucking camera phone. What for? Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, that's awesome. And you'd say, hey, son, you did a good job. You saved on a room.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? That could have been $80 taking a Motel 6. You fucked it right in the bathroom. Good for you.
Right.
You take after your dad.
Right. And, you know, of course, if it was your daughter, you just keep screaming whore. And,
yeah, because that's got to be tough if your daughter at 15 is getting fucked in a stall.
Yeah.
At school.
Yeah. I know it's admittedly, it's a bit of a double standard. I can see where people would see it that way. But that's just the way our society's set up.
Write the rules, no.
I didn't make them. All right, what else we got, Brian?
Next question is from Amy, age 30, of Long Beach. Where is Amy from Long Beach? No last name, unfortunately.
By the way, can I tell you this? I'm not a big fan of the cops because I just don't like the idea that they think they're our bosses when we fucking pay them. They're, you know...
Good point.
I've said it many times. They're essentially our security detail. We, the non-criminals, pay these guys so that they can stop criminals from getting at us. But then they're douchebags to us, and they write us chicken shit tickets. And it's no different than like J-Lo and Jay-Z and everything else that starts with a J. Everyone hires security, right? I mean, J-Lo has a security detail, but when she jaywalks, they don't write her chicken shit tickets and fuck with her constantly. And I feel the same way about the cops. We're not the criminals. Leave us alone.
We're J-Lo.
We're J-Lo. And when we were driving from Vegas, and you guys tell me if you think this is... I know this didn't exist a few years ago, maybe even a few months ago. I know it may not seem like much. You see, I see little indicators. And let me tell you something in life. Everything's just a little indicator. When you see your 9-year-old boy torturing small animals, you don't go, well, I guess he just doesn't like labradoodles.
Right.
You go, this is a bigger global problem. This is an indicator of a larger problem.
What are you talking about?
Yes. Thank you, Sonny. When you see razor wire around freeway signs, you don't go, well, I guess L.A. only has a problem with freeway signs. You go, maybe there's a bigger problem here. And when we were driving from Vegas back to Los Angeles, we passed one of those big electronic freeway signs, and it said, entering a Highway Patrol, California Highway Patrol, zero tolerance zone. And I thought, fuck you, assholes. First off, I missed my fucking flight, and I got an early call time for my contractor show the following morning. If Mike drives like stink, I can make it home an hour earlier. Or if we obey your fucking archaic, retarded rules, I can make it home at 8 o'clock versus 6:30. So we're going to drive like fucking stink, and it's perfectly safe to drive at 85. The sun is shining, and we're sucked in behind this AMG Mercedes. The fucking radar detector. And by the way, the reason I had to shell out $400 for a radar detector and this guy had to shell out $400 and my wife had to shell out $400 was because of your assholes. What do you mean zero tolerance?
Well, and by the way, where is there some tolerance?
Oh, there it is. But the idea that the people in uniform with the guns that we pay to keep us safe have zero tolerance for us. Fuck you. I have zero tolerance for you and your fucking $61,000 a year. And let's not kid ourselves. You are some of the shittiest guys on the high school football team. You're not fucking heroes. You were shit students. You were shitty at sports. You tried to make it. You couldn't get it, fucking cut it at JC level. And now you're working for the fucking highway patrol. You all wanted to do something else. And you have zero tolerance. Well, I have zero tolerance for people I pay that fuck with me. So fuck you. Zero tolerance. You should have zero tolerance for fucking criminals, not people who missed their fucking flight out of McCarran, you pussies. Zero tolerance. Oh, I'm so fucking frightened. Fucking cops bust criminals, not commuters, you pussies. Thank you. Anyway. Zero tolerance zone. For what? People going 11 miles an hour faster than your fucking made-up speed limit from 1961?
What is it, 65? Well, you're in a 65?
Well, first off, it toggles back from 65 to 70 because, you know, you'd catch on fire if it was 70 all the way back. It's fucking, you see the Earth's curvature in front of you.
Right, yeah.
You see the fucking bun boy from 26 miles away. By the way, they've closed down the Bun Boy. Oh, it's fucking devastating. Did you know they closed the Bun Boy down?
I don't want to live in a world without a Bun Boy.
Every single billboard that used to be supplied by Bun Boy was the burger joint that was halfway between L.A. and Vegas. Yes. And you would...
In Baker.
In Baker, right, which is halfway between... Shut the fuck up. He's from New York. If I say it's in Baker, California, the guy's from fucking Long Island. You think he's going to go, oh, what side is this exit is that on?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
He doesn't
I don't know. He
so
knows.
Shut the fuck up.
It's like the south of the border signs on the fucking East Coast.
Right.
You see them every, you know, when you're driving down. I get it.
Yeah, right. So...
You left that out. You knew.
This is... In Baker, you know right where Baker is.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah, there's a Starbucks.
Right, yeah. It's
a Home Depot
awesome
right across the street
great,
from there.
One of the better Home Depots is out in Baker. It's worth
I like that Target across
the
street.
It's a little out of the way, but it's worth it because they'll help load the plywood, you know. So I'll pick up all my day laborers out there and just tote them back, you know. So they closed down the Bun Boy. The Bun Boy... would have a billboard, but you'd get on the freeway. By the way, I'd back out of my driveway and hit a Bun Boy sign.
Right.
And I'd be like, how'd you even know I was going to Vegas? They find out if you're going to Vegas, they start erecting Bun Boy signs on your side streets on the way just before you get on the fucking freeway. Well, they've all been replaced by Alien Jerky. It sounds like a horrible porn title.
Yeah.
But first off, you know, I understand combining things like Vikings and, shoe wear. Things like, you know, boots.
Right.
Or you know, lager beer, you know, or, you know, booze or something like that. But aliens and jerky, I don't feel like aliens know shit about jerky.
And it's alien fresh jerky. I can't think of three words that go not so well together.
Yes.
Except what I just said.
Except what you just said, yeah. Toad the Wet Sprocket is making fun of Alien Fresh Jerky. Like, that's a fucking lame name. What? Where'd you guys come up with that lame name? Alien doesn't make me want to do anything but guard my ass and run. Like, I don't go, oh, yeah, dried cow and teriyaki flavor with aliens. Yeah.
I wonder how the extraterrestrials do it.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not like, oh, yeah, you remember that Richard Dreyfuss movie where he built that huge jerky mountain in his living room? Like, there's been no movie that involves jerky and aliens. Where's the fucking connection? What's going on?
Is the implication the jerky is made from aliens or by aliens?
Or of aliens.
Or we find the alien cookbook that says to serve man. And we freak out.
Exactly.
Either way, I love jerky. I'll eat jerky that you can tell me is made from the flesh of your dog and was left outside. I'll still take one hit off it, and if it's good, I'll take a second hit off it. Alien jerky want nothing to do with
it. I thought you were going to say humans.
I was thinking about it, but then I thought, you know, that'd be something, that'd be kind of cool. Like, I don't condone cannibalism, but I would like to say, when everyone was sitting around a table going, I wonder what humans taste like, I'd like to go, yeah, I know.
You know that we wonder?
Yeah. Puerto Ricans are a little gristly. There's difference in the different breeds. Perhaps I've said too much.
What would be the best part? What would taste the best? What body part, you think?
The booby.
The booby? Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, it's definitely where you'd start.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not starting with earlobes and eyelids.
You
start
think
with the booby, work your way
what
over.
What if you were only down to the penis and you were starving and it was just laying there? Everything else was eaten.
Are we going bunless?
Yeah.
There's no bun?
Yeah.
Zero bun.
No bun.
Like a no carb thing?
Well, it depends. Yeah, no carbs.
Yeah, it's paleo.
Unless you'd rather doctor it up in a bun with some mustard.
I feel like if we could wrap a cock in bacon, I would do it.
You would do it.
I don't think there's almost anything
I'd
that can
certainly enjoy it more.
There's nothing that can overcome the...
I think I speak for a lot of us.
You know, in terms of condom flavors, I mean, maybe not for the Jewish gals, but what I'm... Not that they do that anyway. But the point is that bacon... I don't think there's anything that could overcome my love of bacon, even if it was wrapped in a penis, as long as it had one of those cellophane toothpicks in it. You know, you have to keep it from unraveling.
That's true. Like, if you got rescued and you were on an island and you go, look, I had to eat a penis, I'm like, dude, what the fuck? You're like, well, I wrapped it in bacon. I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Fucking, that's pretty cool.
I think that's how that conversation would.
Don't you think the second question, though, would be, but you had bacon?
Yeah.
I had to eat a penis. I wrapped it in bacon.
Yeah.
But you had bacon.
Right, yeah.
You didn't have to eat the penis. You
no,
wanted
I agree. There'd definitely be more questions asked. The whole bacon cock-eating conversation would lead to more conversations. It would probably come unraveled.
Where are the balls? Who ate the balls?
Yeah.
You said that the first part you'd eat would taste best would be the booby. And I'm just wondering if they serve humans, is that how they refer to it? Like,
oh,
we have
wings
or chicken breasts. Would it be booby night? Boobies.
Right. We would give it a name, like you don't call pork pig and that kind of stuff. All right. Do we have some news, by the way,
We
Allison
sure do.
Rosen? Let's do some news with Allison Rosen.
News with Allison Rosen. She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison.
What the fuck?
Allison.
What the fuck?
And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison.
What the fuck?
Allison.
What the fuck?
Oh, by the way, I have Jim's live shows. Mexicali Live, New Jersey. Mexicali Live in New Jersey. What goes on over there? That's January 18th.
It's like a rock club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And McGoobie's Joke House in Maryland, which sounds like something your agent would threaten you with if you didn't listen to him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
you're really not going to take my advice? You'll be playing McGoobie's Joke House in Maryland, all right?
And obviously, I didn't take his advice.
Fucking guy, you understand? Yeah. Now listen to me. Oh, by the way, that'll be January 30th through February 1st. Sorry. Sorry, where were we?
Former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon died. I don't know if it's Ariel or Ariel like the mermaid, but he's dead.
He and or she he was, will be missed.
He was 85.
I'm not into politics.
He'd been in a coma for 8 years.
A coma for 8 years.
When I first read it, I thought it was a misprint, assuming they meant 8 days. But he'd been in a coma since 2006.
Well, you know, the thing about governing is, you know, Los Angeles had a mayor that was in a coma for 8 years, and we still managed to just... The buses still kind of ran on time, you know what I mean? I was going to say trains, but we don't have trains, but you know what I'm saying. People still went to work, schools were open, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Coma for 8 years.
8 years.
What? Well, by the way, after year seven, don't
you
still
go to the hospital every day?
Yeah. Yeah, you talk to him. Read him those Bruce Springsteen lyrics. That'll bring him back. He loved Thunder Road. Like, when do you just go pull the plug? Who's paying for this?
And apparently, because my question was, well, what happened? I mean,
snowboarding accident.
No. I mean, he had a stroke. But what happened to take him from,
while
you know,
snowboarding?
Alive to this? And it was that his health was deteriorating. Now, one would argue it was already fairly deteriorated.
Yes, I would, too. And, you know, my plan, like, I'm a pretty... Straight. It's not, you know, it's not Obamacare, but it's a pretty straightforward plan because, you know, what it costs to keep a Jew on life support for 8 years is astronomical.
Why just Jew? Is a Catholic different?
They have needs that Gentiles could only imagine.
Yeah.
Even in a coma, they're needy. And it would only come out periodically to criticize the food and then go right back down in a coma again. Very Jewy. Very chewy. And such small portions. And then right back down.
He'd criticize his feeding tube?
That's right. It was literally millions of dollars to keep this guy alive for 8 years, and now he's gone. I've always said this. Life support should just be change operated. You should feed it like a parking meter. And if your family loves you enough... and you have a strong enough network of friends, right, then there'll be someone with a sack of quarters.
Can you imagine if you were, like, late by 5 minutes, though?
Well, that's the thing. Like, how good are these friends? You know what I mean? Because you wouldn't be cutting it that close if it was that sort of thing.
Right. The other family in the room, they go, here's some change, feed the meter in case I'm late.
Right.
You know, they do that just in case.
Right. And my argument is... would you want to return to a world where you did not have enough friends and family who gave a big enough shit to feed the quarters in your life support machine?
I guess not.
No, it takes care of itself. Thank you. Now, where were we? Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was drinking Jim's Mangria. Sorry, Jim.
Oh,
that's
God,
yours. Yeah, that's yours.
I've never had Mangria before.
Oh, enjoy it. Enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. Now, only one because you got to drive back to New Jersey tonight. I know.
A Tupac Shakur Broadway...
Don't tell me he's dead, too, because you're going to destroy my night.
I'm sorry. But it's as if he'll be alive again, because there's a Broadway musical inspired by him that will be happening this summer. It's called Holler If You Hear Me. Although, I feel like it should be Holla, but it's Holler.
Holler
If You Hear Me. It's inspired by the lyrics of Shakur. And it's going to be having a run at the Palace Theater.
Let me say this. I'm upset by this. And for reasons you probably can't anticipate. Jim, I don't know about you, but, you know, we work hard to put food on the table. You know, to put bacon-wrapped cock on the table.
Right.
And you travel from city to city. You're going over to you got to play
Magoobie's
Joke House in Maryland. You're not doing it for your health. You're trying to put bacon-wrapped cock on the table for your children.
Absolutely.
I have twins. The bacon-wrapped cock doesn't just get dropped off by a stork. I got to go out and buy it. You see what I'm saying?
Finish your bacon-wrapped cock. There's kids in China who would kill for that bacon-wrapped
right,
cock.
That's right. Now, this is one more celebrity that's going to out-earn us while he's dead. I hate that. There's a list of celebrities that will out-earn you every year from the fucking grave. So while they're relaxing
in relative luxury. You're going to fucking Magoobies on a bus, and they're out-earning you that night. It doesn't seem right, does it?
No, definitely not.
And, but, you know, they always do the top, you know, five earning celebrities, like, oh, Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley and, you know, George Harrison or whatever. Whatever it is, the top, you know, whatever, Marilyn Monroe, whatever. You know, it would be a much better one if they just kept going. Just deeper and deeper and deeper. And then they'd go, well, let's see, you're a school teacher, ninth grade, where are you at? See, you make $57,000. Agnes Moorhead made more than you, and she's been dead for 21 years. They should really have that fucking chart. Forget about, you know, Michael Jackson made $20 million. I wanted to go all the way down to the people with the super shitty jobs, find the celebrity. She played on Dora in Bewitched. I would love to know this list, because there's still got to be residual checks and stuff coming in.
LaRue from Gidget. She might still be alive.
Yeah, I can guarantee that Sherwood Schwartz, the asshole who invented Gilligan's Island and Brady's Bunch, has out-earned the two of us the last fucking 10 years, and he's been in the goddamn ground for five of them.
You got a point. That's not
fair. I do
have
a point. It's a very valid point. I would love to find people with the shittiest jobs ever, find my little laminate, and find the C-list celebrity who's dead and out-earning them.
That's how you motivate your students.
Yeah. Yes. Mike Rowe, if you're out there, I think I have a new project for you to get involved with. Just call my agent. Sorry,
so
where were we?
The Red Hot Chili Peppers will be performing Super Bowl halftime.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars, who's also performing, invited them. But this article starts, Flea and the rest of Red Hot Chili Peppers will jump onto the stage. If I were any of the rest of Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'd wonder, why did they do it that way? Why say Flea and, you know?
I think they like his name. You know what I mean? The rest is like Anthony and Doug. And
yeah, I know. I just hate my regular name.
Like,
there's no Doug.
Just regular names, number one. Also, Flea plays the bass like you can see Flea playing the bass from outer space. There's only two things you can see from outer space. See the Great Wall of China and Flea playing the bass.
And and a lot of times in his tidy whities, too.
Right. Like he's literally. But John Entwistle, the great John Entwistle from The Who, that guy played the bass and didn't move. Flea plays the fuck out of that bass. He rapes the bass.
I don't really need to hear them ever again, you?
No, I don't need to hear the Red Hot Chili Peppers ever again. Thank you.
Yeah, but you know what? The Bruno Mars needs them at the Super Bowl. Nobody gives a shit about Bruno Mars. Nobody that watches fucking football likes Bruno Mars. He stinks. He might have one song. What is he going to do, the one song three times over? Nobody gives a shit. That's why they need the Chili Peppers. It gets a little star power in there.
Hold on. Let me defend him. First, he's black and non-threatening.
All right. I'll give you that.
All right. It's important. And he can move. When you can move, all is forgiven.
What's your favorite song of his?
I like that one where he's singing about his lady friend. And, you know, how he'd like to abstain from having... Oh, no. How he'd like to get with her. You know what I mean? And then he moves. You know what I mean?
That's my favorite, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard about this, but Kraft is warning that there's going to be a Velveeta shortage. And Matt, the porcelain punisher, said to me, this is just a publicity stunt. He was outraged.
Well, that's why, thankfully, I've been hoarding Velveeta. And then I gouge when I sell it. You know what I mean?
Smart.
Yeah. Why was there a Velveeta shortage? There must be...
For the Super Bowl, because everybody's going to have the cheese.
They'll make a run on...
Yeah, like last year they didn't run out, just this year.
Synthetic cheese.
See, dip season is kicking into full gear.
Dip season?
Dip season.
Oh, okay. But let me say this.
What are the seasons of appetizers? We have dip season...
But here's the thing about the Velveeta cheese. It's synthetic cheese. It's limitless. I mean, it comes from, you know, the old Dow Corning plant or something made in a silo that used to hold Nike missiles, you know. It's not It's not like we're running out of bees this or cows that or anything like that. It's just all made in a lab. All you need is like a Bunsen burner and a stoner, and you can make Velveeta, right?
Yes. Okay. One would think.
All right.
That looks nasty. That looks nasty, that Velveeta cheese. I'd rather have the bacon wrapped penis.
Yeah.
I would.
Well, what I do is I do a Velveeta stuffing in the urethra. Okay. So I get that burst. I get that burst of Velveeta when I bite into it.
Yeah.
That
I know
is
it
like...
sounds homoerotic, but it's delicious.
It's such an upgrade over the normal old cock.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember those hot dogs? I think they were called Frankenweenies, maybe. That yes. were they had something
chili.
That, yes.
They had chili in them.
And they would squirt out.
Yeah. Yeah, they
Did you like them, Allison?
Yeah.
They were messy.
They for a while they tried to introduce one that had ranch in it.
Really?
No, that'd be the one. Could you imagine?
That would probably taste good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So The Wolf of Wall Street dropped a record number of F-bombs.
Oh,
someone
yeah,
actually
I heard about
tallied
this.
It. 506.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the figure breaks the record of 435 F-bombs for 1999 Summer of Sam.
Oh, I was going to guess. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. But Summer of Sam?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised by that as well.
What yeah. about? I thought Pulp Fiction would be in there.
Nope.
It might be in the top five somewhere. So that is an F-bomb every, what did you say?
I didn't break it down.
Oh.
I don't have the breakdown of it. But yeah. you said it was 3 hours, right?
I was
right?
going to say, it does feel unfair, like a guy who breaks the home run record but plays an extra 50 games, you know what I mean? It's a 3-hour movie.
Right, right.
And of Scorsese's other movies, Casino has 422 F-bombs and Goodfellas has 300. So you receive screeners, right?
Yes.
My landlord neighbors who live below me, who are like 800 and 900 years old, respectfully.
Right.
I can always hear what they're watching. They watch TV really loud because they're
right,
really
old.
And we can hear what they're watching. So I heard, we're just sitting there watching TV the other night, and I heard Live and Let Die really loud below us.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, what are they listening to? And then I realized, oh, I think these are all the songs from American Hustle. I think they're listening to American Hustle. I think they're getting screeners.
Wow.
And I think that they were listening to Wolf of Wall Street last night. How are they? I know that you don't know
yes.
them, but still, how
no,
are they getting that?
I got the cool screeners finally. I got the Mark Wahlberg, you know, where he's the last Marine on the mountain with the Taliban and all that kind of stuff. I got the Walt Disney one. By the way, I would never, if I ever got shot, you never fucking hear the end of it. It wouldn't right. be like, I'll rub some dirt on it, bro, I can go. It'd be more like, oh, shit. I mean, I just did 20 minutes on how miserable I was trying to open a Corona bottle with my bare hands.
Stoic.
These guys would get shot, you know, and just sort of get angry. And I don't know. I feel like there'd be a lot more whimpering. By the way, you'd hear, I don't think they would put this in the movie.
Right.
But if I was up on that mountain, like, surrounded by the Taliban, there'd be a lot of, like, okay, listen, I'm just spitballing here, but what if we threw our guns down and offered to suck their cocks? Like, there'd be a lot of that, you know. It wouldn't be, let's take them. You know what I mean? There wouldn't be a lot of like, you know, when I can't fight anymore, put a grenade between my ass cheeks, and then when they roll me over, I'll take one of them out. There
right.
wouldn't be a lot of that. There'd be a lot of, listen, let's negotiate. These are guys. They have needs, obviously. I got a wallet here. I got a fucking MasterCard. Maybe we can do something. Like, there'd be a lot of that kind of talk. You know what I mean? My wife baked me some cookies. I got a cock filled with cheese and wrapped with bacon. Maybe they like that over here.
Yeah.
Maybe not the bacon. I don't know. I'm spitballing. We're surrounded. I'm just talking.
Taking
you understand?
A principled stand is overrated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd be a lot of let's give them what they need. Let's see what we can do. You know, he just all they did was just get shot. You know what I mean? Which is just brave and everything, but I don't feel like I'd be that brave.
So you'd rather suck their cock than get shot? Like, if you had a chance, it would three Taliban guys go, either you blow us or we're going to shoot you in the arm.
Oh, in the arm?
Yeah, like right here, yeah, in the arm.
Is it my ball cupping arm when I suck cock, or is it my other arm?
It's your other arm.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'd do it. Yeah, if it's going to be the other arm, yeah. No, I'm talking about getting shot in the head. And by the way, the other thing I'd be bad at is not only an actual Marine, but an actor playing a Marine. Because when Peter Berg called me and said, you guys need to go to boot camp for 3 weeks so you can find out what it's actually like to be a Navy SEAL up on a hill with no food, surrounded by the Taliban, I'd be like, hey, Pete, that's why they call it acting, bitch. I'll just act scared. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, we need you to bond with the other actors. I'll pretend like I like them.
Christian Bale lost 114 pounds.
Yeah. I don't do that. I want to play a chubby guy.
Who likes boxing?
Yeah, with a kind of bad attitude. I don't, why does everyone have... They call it acting. It's called acting. Why do you have to get everyone together and send them down to Camp Pendleton three fucking weeks, you know?
Arguably, shouldn't we be applauding the people who are acting the most as opposed to actually being it?
Yeah! Yeah, I agree. Those are the real heroes.
So wait, though. Can we go back to something? Blow the Taliban or get shot in the arm.
He didn't really answer the question.
I think blow them.
All right. I think a lot of those guys are uncut.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'd have to pull it back at the same time.
Yeah, it's hot. It's really hot. A lot of sand.
They probably haven't showered in 3 weeks.
But they're more sensitive.
They lived in caves.
Goat based diet.
Yeah.
They probably don't use baby wipes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of variables here.
It's a lot of nuance.
Versus shot in which part of the arm?
The painful part. The elbow.
Or maybe both arms. You get shot in both arms.
Uh-huh. Now, do we videotape this and toss it up on YouTube like a beheading? Or
No. Nobody knows. Just between you and the Taliban. That's it.
Yeah, this is a non-ID blowjob.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And when I come back stateside, when I do my press conference... And I go, I'm here, I'm in one piece, I skirted death, I definitely didn't blow anyone in the Taliban, that's for damn sure. Yeah, certainly not here because of that.
Good, certainly stick not to that story. That.
Or maybe not bring it up at all, you're probably right. Just probably go right past that part. Right.
It would probably raise more questions than not if you brought
good
it up.
Good point. Just play that one close to the explosive vest, as they say.
But then they might question, like, Mr. Carolla, why'd you bring mouthwash to the press conference?
You need your cock sucked? What's going on here? It probably might start something where I just found out, my God, I've missed my calling my entire life. This is what I should have been doing. You know what I mean? Who knows? It could be some sort of cock domino effect. You knock over the first cock and just boom, there you go.
How would you realize it was your calling, though? Like, what would be the indicator, let's say, that this is what you really should have done always?
Well, I think a man knows, you know, how does a hawk know to soar?
So now...
Thank you.
Now, if you do decide to do it, you say, all right, you know what, I'm going to blow these three guys. Now, as you're working the one, are you jerking off the other guy to get him ready at the same time? Or are you going to take your time slowly and do one at a time?
You know, I've been giving this a lot of thought lately. So, you know, over the Christmas break with my kids and stuff, and really just having some time, really just to sort out my thoughts, you know? Because the day-to-day, the business, you know?
You need you time.
Yeah, I got some you time in, so I was really able to really think about this. I like the, by the way, have you guys ever seen the gangbang porno movies where there's like 128 guys? I always like that one of the guys wearing like a gorilla head and stuff like that. He's wearing like he's dressed up like Point Break and they're robbing a bank. You know, he's wearing like Dick Nixon's head and stuff because, you know, later on when he's a super successful CPA, he doesn't want his beautiful young trophy wife recognizing him that he's in this gangbang video. But the thing that's always funny about the guys in the gangbang video, I mean, I've not seen one, but I've heard other comedians talk about them.
Right.
When they're standing in line, they're doing a move, which is not masturbating,
but it is something. Do you know what I mean? It's
kind of
I'm gonna keep the blood working, but I'm not
like they're fidgeting with it.
Right. I have no agenda other than staying in a leather-like phase down here. I like to be in a leather mode.
Like when joggers are at a light.
That's the move I always think of. That weird, like, I'm not going anywhere, but I don't want to tighten up and pull something. Yeah, it's that sort of fighter bouncing around. Once you take the knee and you do the cross thing, you know, pop out. Cut man comes out with the Vaseline. Sorry. Where were we? What were we talking
about? Well, now we're talking about gangbang porn.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've never seen. This is not the time, but I have to ask anyway. Does each person get like a couple pumps and then they move on? Or how does this work? Is it like a lot of people in line for a bathroom? Where speed is of the essence.
The problem is there's no real sanctioning body.
That is a problem.
So there's a lot of gals that claim to have the record with like 500 guys, but four of the guys just went around, you know, four different times. So it's not five brand new cocks. It's, you know, 125 of the same old cocks. You know what I mean? Feel free to use this when you're teaching math, by the way.
I feel like it's got to be distinct different cocks. That's how I would count it.
Well, we're old-fashioned that way.
Yeah.
You know, we're what you call gangbang purists.
Yeah.
So that's the way our grandfathers would gangbang and tally. But
it's how I was raised to think of it.
Yes. And you know, in a beautiful, pure world of gangbang, when guys couldn't, you know, take multiple laps, that's how it would be. But now it's a bunch of guys wearing old-timey brass diver helmets and shit standing in line. By the way, in terms of people recognizing you, don't you think your wife's going to recognize your cock? I think she'd recognize your parts, too. You know what I'm saying?
If there's something distinct about them.
Yes.
Adam, if you were going to be in that gangbang and it was like 300 and you had to pick a number and you were like 273,
Well,
would you just go, you know what, I'm going to go for lunch, it's going to be a while? Or would you hang in the line, maybe you would move up, maybe, you know, a couple guys crap out, so now you're like 220?
Or would you be like, could you guys give me a call when I'm up?
Well, I would hope it would
be... That's a lot of jogging in place.
It'd be like when you go... when you go to one of those popular restaurants up at City Walk and they give you that weird pager thing, you know? You go to Wom Poppers up at City Walk, you know, and you'd be sitting there eating your Quiznos and the thing would start vibrating. It's like, oh, I guess someone came. All right, I gotta take turkey sub with me. Maybe I can use it.
Those things always seem so cool and novel to me, and yet a phone can do a million, like a lot more than just that vibrating coaster.
Yeah, no.
Yet I'm always looking at it and thinking, are you moving?
Yeah, and by the way, if I was, Jim, if you were in control of the vibrating thing.
Oh, forget it.
You'd hit the guy, they'd come up. I was just testing it.
Yeah.
You got about another 40 minutes here.
Yeah, it's malfunctioned. You got a wrong one. Here, take another one.
Yeah, go back and sit down again. Then just hit it again. You just
keep hitting it. As soon as the hot chick came in, you know, 45-minute wait, a minute later. It went off. Yeah, here you go.
And then eventually, when you did hit it, they'd come up. They'd go, Jesus Christ, we've been at it for like an hour. Where have you been?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. All right, where were we?
Well, here's an article. It sort of relates to some stuff we've been talking about. 5 things you'll only eat while drunk. And I'm wondering if you agree with this list. This is from MTV.
Pussy lips. Bacon-wrapped cock with cheese in it.
Mm-hmm. So.
Certain pussy.
Most.
Well, okay, let's not go blue. We've made it the whole show.
You're right.
We're doing a nice family show, and then all of a sudden you take a turn with a few minutes left in the show. I want to apologize for the kids out there.
Have you ever done this, actually eaten garbage? And by that what they mean is where there's like a pizza box in the trash, and you're like, oh, that crust's still totally edible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'll eat anything. Yes.
I imagine that, because you've talked about like going back for the See's candy that you didn't think you wanted.
Right.
But that's your own stuff that you've gotten rid of. Like, would you go into someone else's garbage?
Definitely. Listen, who amongst us hasn't hit someone else's room service?
Oh, in the hallway, absolutely.
Refugees out in the hallway.
Not even drunk, sober.
Yeah, those fries. There's nothing wrong with those fries.
Yeah.
What do you think the guy did with the fry? Dipped it in KY, put up his ass, and put it back on the plate? Exactly. No, he didn't touch it. That's fine.
I'm sleeping on a bed where on a sheet and a comforter that someone came on about 12 hours before anyway.
Yeah,
so.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Those are whole strawberries that are sitting around half that Denver omelet. That's fine. And by the way, if you work the Denver omelet back to front, all you do is stop at the eat line and you're fine.
Smart. I've always been tempted, but I've never actually crossed that line. Maybe I will next time.
Listen, right now, we're all sitting here. We all have our own spit in our own mouth. We all have our own pubes on our own junk. And we all have our own crap in our own colon. And we're fine with it, right? What makes you so special that yours is somehow sprayed with disinfectant or somehow doesn't... Yours isn't special. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, Allison, yeah.
Yeah.
You think your shit doesn't stink? Hell yes, it stinks. Who cares about your room service and all this shit? I get into it. I eat my kid's shit. I grab it right out of their fucking mouth.
Also on the list is the cheapest vending machine item.
Oh, yeah. Sure, that's fine.
An entire package of mints, like Altoids.
Drunk?
Yeah.
No, I don't, you know, I
only
feel...
if you get behind a wheel.
Right. Or again, you're following the drunk guy, but you're drunk.
Or, you're going to drive drunk.
Right.
Pie mix.
Pie mix.
Like pumpkin out of a can or something.
Yeah. Pie mix I have done sober. When I used to babysit, I would open a can of pie mix, dump it in a bowl, and put Toll House morsels and mini marshmallows and all shit. Like I was an insane stoned raccoon, but I was 14. And
right.
Spoon it into your mouth. Remember when you used to eat with complete reckless abandon? Like, it did not matter. You were, 111 pounds. You were 14 years old. You were skinny as shit. And there's nothing you could eat that would ever change that. And you could just open up cans of pie filling. That's what I used to do when I would babysit my neighbors. Oh, neighbor's kid, more importantly.
Didn't you also eat out of Ray's pantry?
I ate a... Remember See's? I'm trying to think of the weird shit I've eaten. Remember See's Candy used to do the giant Easter egg?
Yeah.
I ate a See's Candy giant Easter egg that had been sitting on my friend's windowsill and that was half eaten, still in the box. I ate that thing in August. Maybe September. I mean, it'd been at least 4 months of sitting in the sun, half eaten on the box. Listen, I'm not fucking exaggerating one iota when I tell you, I've told this story before, when I was doing Kevin and Bean at K-Rock out here in Los Angeles, 1994, Jimmy Kimmel pulled a piece of Canadian bacon out of a McBreakfast burger, put a safety pin through it, put it on a cork board in our producer Frank Murphy's office, wrote the date under it, and 1 year later, to the day, ate the Canadian bacon. And now he's the king of late night. So maybe you guys should be... We're laughing about the cock with the bacon on it, but maybe Jimmy was on to something.
Now, why did he do that? Not that it's not a great thing to do, but what was the thought behind it?
You women don't understand what makes men great.
Apparently.
You understand? It's like saying, why would you do a push-up? You have blood goes to your head.
Right, I'm asking the wrong questions.
Yeah, it makes you better. For other things. It makes you stronger when you go to battle. You see what I'm saying?
So it was just...
Women have a lot of... Why? Because your buddy got drunk and passed out. Why would you draw a huge cock on his forehead? You ask a lot of stupid questions.
I'm sorry.
You understand why?
I just don't see it like you
do. But you understand why you're only getting 72 cents or a dollar?
No, it makes perfect sense.
Because you don't engage in this behavior. You don't reach for greatness.
No, I've never wondered, could I eat Canadian bacon that's been on a cork board for a year?
Yeah, you don't engage in that kind of behavior, but it's part of the gene that makes us great. The reason we have the Golden Gate Bridge. The reason man has set foot on the moon. Not woman. Man. Once in a blue moon, we try to throw a chick up there, the whole thing blows up. I don't mean to be insensitive. I'm not saying she did anything wrong. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't.
Somebody yelled out too soon.
Okay, that was, man, I crossed the line. Across the line.
We got. You got to wait another 6 months to do that joke.
I'm saying...
It was, man, 30 years ago.
Man eats the bacon. Man draws the cock on the forehead. Man puts his foot on the moon. You understand? It's a man. Man does. You understand? Yeah. That's our gene. Don't ask us why.
Man blows three Taliban guys so he can see his family.
Works the other one with a hand. Man.
Yeah.
Man. But the point is, whoa, why go to the moon? There's nothing up there. There's no Velveeta on that moon. There's nothing happening up there. Hey, we got none of those screener movies up there.
You can get alien fresh jerky down here.
Yeah, they're bringing it down here. Why? 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 That's the thing. Because why? Ask Jimmy Kimmel why. That's what makes him great. He's a fucking warrior. He ate that bacon like a warrior.
And it went well for him?
Listen, it turns out we can do a lot more than we think we can in terms of consumption. He ate a piece of Canadian bacon, and it was completely fine 1 year later. And after hanging on God knows what, I must have wiped my ass with it 5 times during the break. Either way, Jimmy consumed that piece of Canadian bacon, and he's the king of late night. What else do you want me to tell you? Sorry, let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Listen, what, Sally Ride, she was a school teacher, right?
I thought you were thinking of Krista McAuliffe.
Either way. What I'm saying is don't get in that shuttle, sweetie. You stay here on terra firma. You mold minds, you understand? I want to see you go up in a ball of fire up there, you know what I mean? No, I know, it's a little soon, but what I'm saying is she was a school teacher, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
So I hear that, yeah.
There's some sort of, you know, I mean, the odds go up in a bad direction. That's all I'm saying. Listen, it's just
why don't
good
you
math.
Stop talking for
all
a
right,
while?
Maybe it's just a second. It's too soon. It's just too soon. You guys know, you did know what I wanted to do with this. The space shuttle's down. You know, we have it here.
See, yeah, right. It's out here, yeah.
Yeah, we towed it with a Tundra truck all the way out here. By the way, it turns out it's not that hard to pull super heavy shit on wheels. Like, there's some strongman competition. He's going to tow a 747. He's going to use a bit they put in his mouth. And some guy with huge calves starts leaning into it. And he turns out a Samoan dude can tow a 747 from shit in his mouth. Like, I don't know how it works. I think that's the wonder of the wheel. Another thing a dude invented, by the way. Canadian bacon loosely shaped on the wheel. Something else I think we invented. But either way. The Tundra pulled it across from LAX or whatever, and they dragged it off, and they dropped it over at the Space Museum. If you want to go out after this, I know a guy. Where was I? Whenever we do the live shows, everyone says, you know what? I want to hear a live read, Ace Man. And I say, no, man. I'm here for the people, man. I don't sell out. And they go, do it, man. Do it for the people. And I say, fine. But only if it's go to meeting. Start your new year off right by working smarter with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. You can increase productivity, improve communications, cut time and money wasted in travel, man. I mean, my God, the East Coast, it's brutal. I couldn't get out of Burbank. I couldn't imagine what the East Coast is like.
Oh, yeah, it took me 5 hours to get out here. And it's going to take me 6 to get to Magoobie's Joke House January 30th and February 1st.
Well, I'll tell you, you could do your whole set from here with GoToMeeting. You wouldn't have to go to Magoobie's over there. You can share your screen and collaborate with documents and spreadsheets with other valued coworkers. And you can try it for free. A 30-day free trial, no credit card required. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code Adam. All right, where were we?
Mexicali Live, Magoobies, Joke House in Maryland, all coming up January 18th and then January 30th through the 1st. Podcast, sorry, throw that out, Jim.
Comedy Metal Midgets, up on iTunes once a week. It's up there, so check that out. And that metal show next Saturday night, January 18th, M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold, Zach Wilde, and Ted Nugent's going to be on this season.
Motor City Madman.
Mick Mars from Motley Crue. So we got a good season coming up.
Check that out. Enjoy some Mangria, available Corolla drinks, shop Amazon, and all that good stuff. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Jim Florentine, Allison Rosen, Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Come out to two live podcasts at the Park West in Chicago on January 31st and one at the University of Buffalo on February 1st, plus Adam's solo stand-up show at Detroit at the Motor City Casino on January 30th. Tickets on all live podcasts, stand-up events, Mangria, and more. Visit AdamCarolla.com.